You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.
I told the daffodils, I told the whippoorwills just how pretty you smile. Yes, I told them all about you. I told each little bird every little single word that you say is worthwhile. Yes, I told them all about you. I told the moon and every little star that shines above about the way you roll your pretty eyes and how you love. Each little honeybee knows it's going to be a honeymoon for two. Yes, I told them all about you. Oh, damn it. I told the whippoorwills just how pretty you smile. Yes, I told them all about you. I told each little bird every little single word that you say is worthwhile. Yes, I told them all about you. I told the moon and every little star that shines above about the way you roll your pretty eyes and how you love. Each little honeybee knows it's going to be a honeymoon for two. Yes, I told them all about you. Tell them about her, Jack. I hear you, sir. Take it right on down.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters. This is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. This is my 367th Word for Word. That's not counting the reruns. That's just the new shows. And this show is for Monday, April the 9th. We are in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'm gone. This is pre-recorded. I'm down having a good time. If I'm not getting rained on. We have finished the book of Jasher last week. Pardon me. And we're going to get into the actual Apocrypha now with the book of Tobit. This is a story of Tobit, the son of Tobiel, in the days of Shalmaneser, king of Asher. It was written, it's in the Greek, okay, so it's going to be a little different, but I'm going to read what they have in here without doing any modifications, particularly so you get the gist of the story. It's anglicized and people need to be able to understand this stuff. And the books that were in the Hebrew, I will have done primarily in with the Hebrew slant and wording, etc., etc. But the apocryphal books were in between the Testaments, and they're historical. They're not necessarily commands, etc., etc., but they tell a story of what went on. So we'll be doing several shows here, probably three shows on the Book of Tobit. So let's get started in chapter 1, verse 1. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I want to give my my website. I don't self-promote. That's my fault. My website is https://www.pastor-steve.com, and all my shows are there. I'm starting a new section. Jasher is so long and so complicated it has its own section, and the Apocrypha is next, and I'll be filling in these shows as I do them. I have a number of books to read here, so we'll be in the Apocrypha for a while. I'm not going to do Second Esdras because Eli and Greg Howard and I are dissecting that. And if you want to hear about Second Esdras, you can listen to those shows on the EFR website. So let's launch. Let me get a little drink, coffee, clear the pipe. Oh, yeah. Verse 1, chapter 1 of the Book of Tobit, T-O-B-I-T. This book tells the story of Tobit, son of Tobiel, son of Hananiel, son of Aduel, son of Gabael, son of Raphael, son of Raguel, of the descendants, of Asiel, of the tribe of Naphtali. Verse 2, who in the days of King Shalmaneser of Asher, the Assyrians, okay, was taken into captivity from Thisbe, which is to the south of Kadesh Naphtali in Upper Galil or Galilee, above Asher, that's the territory of Asher, the tribe of Asher, toward the west and north of Phogor. Okay. Verse 3. This is a story about Tobit's youth and virtuous life. I, Tobit, walked in the ways of truth and righteousness all the days of my life. I performed many acts of charity for my kindred and my people who had gone with me in exile to Nineveh in the land of Asher, or the Assyrians. Okay. When I was in my own country, in the land of Israel, while I was still a young man, the whole tribe of my ancestor Naphtali deserted the house of David and Jerusalem. See, we're all the way up past the time of David. This city had been chosen from among all the tribes of Israel, where all the tribes of Israel should offer sacrifice, and where the temple, the dwelling of Elohim, or God, had been consecrated and established for all generations forever. That backs up what's in the rest of the scripture. Verse 5. All my kindred and our ancestral house of Naphtali sacrificed to the calf that King Jeroboam of Israel had erected in Dan and on all the mountains of Galilee. They had paganized. Okay. The golden calf. Verse 6. But I alone went often to Jerusalem for the festivals, like the festival we're having now, Feast of Unleavened Bread, as it is prescribed for all Israel by an everlasting decree. He tells it right there. This doesn't end. The feasts aren't put away. We're to keep these feasts. I would hurry off to Jerusalem, that's Jerusalem, with the first fruits of the crops and the firstlings of the flock, the tithes of the cattle and the first shearings of the sheep. Verse 7. I would give these to the priests, the sons of Aharon, that's the descendants of Aaron, at the altar. Likewise, the tenth of the grain, wine, olive oil, pomegranates, figs, and the rest of the fruits to the sons of Levi, that's Levi, who ministered at Jerusalem. Also for 6 years, I would save up a second tenth in money and go and distribute it in Jerusalem. Verse 8. A third tenth, and this is added from other old things, I would give to the orphans and widows and to the converts who had attached themselves to Israel. I would bring it and give it to them in the third year, and we would eat it according to the ordinance decreed concerning it in the law of Moshe and according to the instructions of Deborah, the mother of my father, Tobiel. Now that's Latin. In the Greek, it's Chananiel. Okay. For my father had died and left me an orphan. Verse 9. When I became a man, I married a woman they say her name was Anna. Okay, a member of our own family, and by her I became the father of a son whom I named Tobias. Now, he's taken captive to Nineveh. Chapter 1, verse 10. After I was carried away captive to Asher, Assyria, and came as a captive to Nineveh, every one of my kindred and my peoples ate the food of thee, and they have the word Gentiles in here. That is inserted. That is incorrect. Of the nations, or heathen, okay? Gentiles is not in any of the books. It comes from Latin, gentilis, means not a citizen, and was added much later, but this is a later printing. So I will correct it wherever I see it. But I kept myself from eating the food of the nations, or the heathen, verse 12, because I was mindful of Elohim with all my heart. The Most High gave me favor and good standing with Shalmaneser, and I used to buy everything he needed. Verse 14. Until his death, I used to go into Media and buy for him there. Well, in the country of Media, I left the bags of silver worth 10 talents in trust with Gabael, the brother of Gabri. But when Shalmaneser died, this is verse 15, and his son Sennacherib reigned in his place, the highways into Media became unsafe, and I could no longer go there. In other words, they were robbing people. Verse 16. In the days of Shalmaneser, I performed many acts of charity to my kindred, those of my tribe. Verse 17, I would give my food to the hungry and my clothing to the naked. And if I saw the dead body of any of my people thrown out behind the wall of Nineveh, I would bury it. Verse 18, I also buried any whom King Sennacherib put to death when he came fleeing from Judea. That's the land of Judah. In those days of judgment that the King of Heaven executed upon him because of his blasphemies. That's backed up in Scripture. For in his anger he put to death many Israelites, but I would secretly remove the bodies and bury them. So when Sennacherib looked for them, he could not find them. Verse 19. Then one of the Ninevites went and informed the king about me that I was burying them, so I hid myself. But when I realized that the king knew about me and that I was being searched for to be put to death, I was afraid and ran away. Verse 20. Then all my property was confiscated. Nothing was left to me that was not taken into the royal treasury except my wife Anna and my son Tobias. Verse 21. And this is also backed up in Scripture. But not 40 days or 45 or 50, it depends what version you look at. Not 40 days passed before two of Sennacherib's sons killed him, and they fled to the mountains of Ararat, and his son Etzar-Chadon reigned after him. Okay. That's J. And in the Greek, it's Sacherdonos. Okay, but it's Etzar-Hadon. in the Hebrew. He appointed Ahikar, the son of my brother Hanael, or Hananael, it depends on the version, over all the accounts of his kingdom, and he had authority over the entire administration. Verse 22, Ahikar interceded for me, and I returned to Nineveh. Now, Ahikar was chief cupbearer, keeper of the signet, and in charge of administrations of the accounts under King Sennacherib of Assyria, or Asher. So Etzarhaddon reappointed him. He was my nephew, and so a close relative. And that ends chapter 1. So he's had an interesting life, dodging and weaving, trying to avoid execution for doing a charitable act. And that end, I'm going to mark this so we don't go over it again. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Then during the reign of Etzarhaddon, I returned home, and my wife Anna and my son Tobias were restored to me. At our festival of Pentecost, remember this is in Greek, which is the sacred festival of weeks, Feast of Weeks. A good dinner was prepared for me, and I reclined to eat. Verse 2. When the table was set for me and an abundance of food placed before me, I said to my son Tobias, "Go, my child, and bring whatever poor person you may find of our people." Of our people! Okay, they were keeping separate. They were not just bringing mutts in. They stayed with the Israelites. Okay, let's get that straight right here. This does not vary from the rules of the Old Testament. Of our people, among the exiles in Nineveh, who is wholeheartedly mindful of Elohim, and he shall eat together with me. I will wait for you until you come back. Verse 3. So Tobias went to look for some poor person of our people. Again, of our people. When he had returned, he said, "Father," and I replied, "Here I am, my child." Then he went on to say, "Look, father, one of our own people has been murdered and thrown into the marketplace. And now he lies there strangled." Verse 4. Then I sprang up, left the dinner before even tasting it, and removed the body. Let me look at the note. Or him. From the square, and laid it, or him, in one of the rooms until sunset, when I might bury it. Verse 5, when I returned, I washed myself and ate my food in sorrow. Verse 6. Then I remembered the prophecy of Amos, how he said against Bethel, Bethlehem. Either one. Your festival shall be turned into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I wept. And you can reference Amos chapter 8, verse 10. Verse 7. When the sun had set, I went and dug a grave and buried him. Verse 8. And my neighbors laughed and said, is he still not afraid? He has already been hunted down to be put to death for doing this, and he ran away. Yet here he is again burying the dead. Verse 9. That same night I washed myself and went into my courtyard and slept by the wall of the courtyard. And my face was uncovered because of the heat. Hot there. Hot nights. Verse 10. I did not know that there were sparrows on the wall, and their fresh droppings fell into my eyes and produced white films. I went to the physicians to be healed. But the more they treated me with ointments, the more my vision was obscured by the white films until I became completely blind. For 4 years I remained unable to see. All my kindred were sorry for me, and Ahikar took care of me for 2 years before he went to Elimais. Verse 11 of chapter 2. At that time, also, my wife Anna earned money at women's work. She used to send what she made to the owners, and they would pay wages to her. One day, the 7th of Distress, when she cut off a piece she had woven, I don't know what distress is, and sent it to the owners, they paid her full wages and also gave her a young goat for a meal. Verse 13, when she returned to me, the goat began to bleat. So I called her and said, where did you get this goat? It is surely not stolen, is it? Return it to the owners, for we have no right to eat anything stolen. Verse 14, but she said to me, it was given to me as a gift in addition to my wages. But I did not believe her and told her to return it to the owners. I became flushed with anger against her over this, and she replied to me, where are your acts of charity? Where are your righteous deeds? These things are known about you. Or to you or with you in the Greek. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Put a little red line right here so I know that I have finished that chapter. This book of the Apocrypha that I have is got smaller print than my normal. I have to be very careful. Verse 1, this is Tobit's prayer. Then with much grief and anguish of heart, I wept, and with groaning began to pray. Now, this man was a Yahweh worshiper. Okay, he knew the name. So they have put in Lord. They're known for this. But it's not Lord, it's Yahweh. And it's one of the things we have to deal with when these translations are read. You have to be very, very careful, because they really have it fouled up. Verse 2, I'm just going to read through and not give all the verses. That just, it breaks the rhythm of the prayer. This is what it says. You are righteous, O Yahweh, and all your deeds are just. All your ways are mercy and truth. You judge the world. There is another version that says you render true and righteous judgment forever. Okay, pick one. And now, O Yahweh, remember me and look favorably upon me. Do not punish me for my sins and for my unwitting offenses and those that my ancestors committed before you. They sinned against you and disobeyed your commandments, so you gave us over to plunder, exile, and death to become the talk, the byword, and an object of reproach among all the nations among whom you have dispersed us. And now, your many judgments are true in exacting penalty from me for my sins. For we have not kept your commandments and have not walked in accordance with truth before you. That holds true today. Okay? And so now deal with me as you will, command from the face of the earth and become dust. For it is better to die than to live, because I have had to listen to undeserved insults, and great is the sorrow within me. Command, O Yahweh, that I be released from this distress. Release me to go to the eternal home. And do not, O Yahweh, turn your face away from me. For it is better for me to die than to see so much distress in my life and listen to insults. Because they evidently were really hammering on him. Well, they're hammering on us today. And we can't lose faith. We are commanded to occupy until the end, even death. 7. On the same day at Ecbatana in Media, it also happened that Sarah, the daughter of Raguel, was reproached by one of her father's maids. For she had been married to 7 husbands, and the wicked demon Asmodeus had killed each of them before they had been with her, as is customary for wives. She was still a virgin. So the maid said to her, "You are the one that kills your husbands. See, you have already been married to 7 husbands and have not borne the name," or the child, you know, "borne the name of a single one of them." Verse 9. "Why do you beat us? Because your husbands are dead? Go with them. May we never see a son or daughter of yours." Ooh. That's rough. This is Sarah's prayer for death. Verse 10. "On that day she was grieved in spirit and wept. When she had gone up to her father's upper room, she intended to hang herself. But she thought it over and said, 'Never shall they reproach my father,' saying to him, 'You had only one beloved daughter, but she hanged herself because of her distress. And I shall bring my father in his old age down in sorrow to Hades,'" that's the land of the dead. Same as Sheol in the Hebrew. But it's the Greek version of Sheol, the land of the dead and its inhabitants. "It is better for me not to hang myself, but to pray Yahweh," because they have the Lord here again, "that I may die and not listen to these reproaches anymore." Verse 11. "At that same time, with hands outstretched toward the window, she prayed and said, 'Blessed are you, merciful Elohim. Blessed is your name forever. Let all your works praise you forever.'" Now, verse 12, there's two verses of it. "And now, Yahweh, I turn my face to you and raise my eyes to you." In other versions, they don't have Yahweh. "And now I turn my face to you and raise my eyes to you." Okay. Verse 13. "Command that I be released from the earth and not listen to such reproaches anymore." 14. "You know, O Master, that I am innocent of any defilement with a man, and that I have not disgraced my name or the name of my father in the land of my exile. I am my father's only child. He has no other child to be his heir, and he has no close relative or other kindred for whom I should keep myself as wife." "Already 7 husbands of mine have died. Why should I still live? But if it is not pleasing to you, O Yahweh, to take my life, hear me in my disgrace." Pardon me. Let me get a drink of coffee. She was being tested and tempted and tortured by this Asmodeus, one of the evil ones. Here's an answer to her prayer, this verse 16 of chapter 3. "At that very moment, the prayers of both of them were heard in the glorious presence of Elohim. So Raphael," that's one of the good angels, okay? Raphael was the healing of El. Rapha means to heal. And El means God. The healing of God was sent to heal both of them. Tobit, by removing the white film from his eyes so that he might see Elohim's light with his eyes, and Sarah, daughter of Raguel, by giving her in marriage to Tobias, son of Tobit, and by setting her free from the wicked demon Asmodeus. For Tobias was entitled to have her before all others who had desired to marry her. At the same time that Tobit returned from the courtyard into his house, Sarah, daughter of Raguel, came down from her upper room. And that ends chapter 3 of Tobit. So now we're going to get into the short chapter 4. These are not really long chapters. Verse 1 of chapter 4. That same day, Tobit remembered the money that he had left in trust with Gabael at Ragesh in Media, and he said to himself, "Now I have asked for death. Why do I not call my son Tobias and explain to him about the money before I die?" Verse 3. Then he called his son Tobias, and when he came to him, he said, "My son, when I die, give me a proper burial. Honor your mother and do not abandon her all the days of your life. Do whatever pleases her and do not grieve her in anything." Verse 4. "Remember her, my son, because she faced many dangers for you while you were in her womb. And when she dies, bury her beside me in the same grave." Now here they have, wherever they have the Lord, I'm going to reinsert Yahweh, because they just did this. And it's a difficult thing because, they don't mention. Yeah, they do. It's just that it's been changed by people to suit themselves. They took the holy name out. Verse 5. "Revere Yahweh all your days, my son, and refuse to sin or to transgress his commandments. Live uprightly all the days of your life and do not walk in the ways of wrongdoing." Verse 6. "For those who act in accordance with truth will prosper in all their activities." To all the, okay, remember that? "For those who act in accordance with the truth will prosper in all their activities." And the site stats and the listening audience is growing with EFR. I firmly believe that. "To all those who practice righteousness," verse 7, "give alms from your possessions, and do not let your eye begrudge the gift when you make it. Do not turn your face away from anyone who is poor, and the face of Elohim will not be turned away from you." Verse 8, "If you have many possessions, make your gift from them in proportion. If few, do not be afraid to give according to the little you have." Verse 9, this is all according to Scripture. He's quoting Torah. Verse 9, "So you will be laying up a good treasure for yourself against the day of necessity." Verse 10, "For almsgiving delivers from death and keeps you from going into the darkness." Verse 11, "Indeed, almsgiving for all those who practice it is an excellent offering in the presence of the Most High." Here he gets into it. Verse 12. Beware, my son, of every kind of fornication. First of all, marry a woman from among the descendants of your ancestors. Do not marry a foreign woman or a racial alien who is not of your father's tribe, for we are the descendants of the prophets. Remember, my son, that Noach, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, our ancestors of old, all took wives from among their kindred. They married within the tribes, each kind unto its kind. They were blessed in their children, and their posterity will inherit the land. Verse 13. So now, my son, love your kindred. Brotherly love, he's talking of here. That's the commandment for us. And in your heart, do not disdain your kindred, the sons and daughters of your people, by refusing to take a wife for yourself from among them. For in pride there is ruin and great confusion, and in idleness there is loss and dire poverty, because idleness is the mother of famine. So we're supposed to feed all those creatures over there on the African continent that lay around. All they want to do is kill people, rape and murder. Verse 14. Now this is scripture again. He's quoting Torah. Verse 14. Do not keep over until the next day the wages of those who work for you, but pay them at once. If you serve Elohim, you'll receive payment. Watch yourself, my son, in everything you do, and discipline yourself in all your conduct. Self-control. Okay? Verse 15. More Torah. And what you hate, do not do to anyone. In other words, do to others what you want to do to yourself, have done to you. Do not drink wine to excess, or let drunkenness go with you on your way. Verse 16. Give some of your food to the hungry, and some of your clothing to the naked. Give all your surplus as alms, and do not let your eye begrudge your giving of alms. Verse 17. Place your bread on the grave of the righteous, but give none to sinners. You can see in the community who has turned their back on Yahweh, and you have to avoid them. Verse 18, seek advice from every wise person, and do not despise any useful counsel. Verse 19, at all times bless Yahweh Elohim, and ask him that your ways may be made straight, and that all your paths and plans may prosper. That's what you ask for. Please guide me. For none of the nations has understanding. That's the heathen nations, the non-Israel nations. Okay? But Yahweh himself will give them good counsel. But if he chooses otherwise, he casts down to deepest Hades. That's Sheol, the land of the dead, in Hebrew. So now, my child, remember these commandments and do not let them be erased from your heart. verse 20. And now, my son, let me explain to you that I left 10 talents of silver in trust with Gabael, son of Gabrias, at Rages in Media. Verse 21. Do not be afraid, my son, because we have become poor. You have great wealth if you fear Elohim and flee from every sin and do what is good in the sight of Yahweh, your Elohim. You are rich in blessings. I'll read that again. You have great wealth if you fear Elohim and flee from every sin and do what is good in the sight of Yahweh your Elohim. Boy, oh boy. Now that was one fine dissertation by this man. He laid it on. Well, I've got 1 through 4 done today. I was going to do 1 through 3, but they're fairly short. Now we're going to be beginning in chapter 5 on the next show. And the way I'm looking at these, it'll be 5, 6, 7, and 8. So we'll do 4 chapters in a day. And that'll be on the 11th. That'll be a Shabbat. That's the last great day. Okay? That's going to be a high holy day. So I'll get that done. I'll do that today. This is the 28th, by the way, of March. And I'm recording ahead in order to be able to be at the feast with no worries. And it looks like I'm I'm doing all right. I've got enough time this week, the last week of March, before I leave, and I can get all of this recorded in fine style with absolutely no trouble. This is another good read. I'm really enjoying this apocryphal work. There's so much to be learned just through reading history, and this guy's, you know, it's not a scripture thing, but it's quoting scripture and it's giving instruction. And it's edification, it's instructional. That's the main thing, is learning and being instructed. And studying and doing the Torah. That's the main thing. Well, I'm going to play some music. I'm going to play the exit music and then play some songs. I think I'm going to play doggone it. I got to find it. Ah, yeah, See God's Ark a-movin'. That's one of them I'm going to play. I really enjoy bluegrass and country. That's my style. So I hope you enjoy this stuff. I'm going to play a couple things, and we'll get in on Wednesday, beginning with chapter 5 of Tobit. So may Yahweh bless and keep you, keep the feasts, and praise Yahweh. Okay?
See God's ark a-movin', see God's ark a-movin'. Picks me up on my lonely days and carries me through tomorrow. The rain came up hard, you know, and the wind began to blow. And I lifted my voice up into the sky and cried mercy to my soul. See God's ark a-movin', see God's ark a-movin'. Picks me up on my lonely days and carries me through tomorrow. God must have felt my faith. He held me till it was safe. And I never again drew a doubting breath, cause he delivered me from my death. See God's ark a-moving, see God's ark a-moving. Picks me up on my lonely days and carries me through tomorrow. Temptation, if you just can't put it down, when the ark sets sail in the rolling sea, you're gonna fall overboard and drown. See God's ark a-moving, see God's ark a-moving. Picks me up on my lonely days and carries me through tomorrow. Picks me up on my lonely days and carries me through tomorrow.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.